Once again, we're blessed with the privilege of coming together with those who love the Lord and love one another to open the pages of His Word and together study. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. And as Paul, in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 1 Timothy 1, and in verse 12. I've come to talk to us this afternoon on the subject of justification. Lots of things have been written and spoken over the years by men on this subject. And we could read and listen to all of that and still not know the truth. And be the worse and not the better. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so our concern this afternoon is not what have men said or written about it, but what saith the Scripture. Justification is a Bible subject. The word itself appears three times, all three of which occur in the letter of Paul to the Romans. In chapter 4 and verse 25, when it talks about Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And then in verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In addition to the word justification, the word is just, justified, justifier, justifieth. Justify and justifying together occur more than 150 times throughout the pages of this volume. The Scriptures often talk about the just and the unjust. The Lord spoke of such in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 43, He exclaimed, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And here's a case where the Bible is its best commentary. The just is the good and the unjust are the evil. The Scriptures talk about the habitation of the just. Why Solomon, back in wisdom literature, as recorded in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 33, had this to say. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth what, Solomon? The habitation of the just. He also spoke of the path of the just in contrast to the path of the wicked. Proverbs 4:14. His appeal, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. He also talks about the head, the memory, the tongue, and the mouth of the just. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed. In verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. And in verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The word just is used of one who is righteous before God. If you'll take the time to read Proverbs 10, you'll see a number of terms that are used interchangeably, like the terms just and righteous. In verse 31, he mentions the mouth of the just And then in the next verse, 32, he says, the lips of the righteous. And so that gives you a good Bible definition of what it means to be just, to be righteous. When you go back to the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 9, we read where Noah was a just man. And in chapter 7, in verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so to be just is to be righteous before God. The word justification has to do with the act of God's declaring man to be free from guilt and acceptable to him, judging them to be righteous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so I learned that these who at one time were unrighteous were declared free from guilt and rendered acceptable to God. The Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17 that all unrighteousness is sin. And so to commit these acts of unrighteousness as specified in Paul's letter to the Corinthians is to cause one to become guilty of sin. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And so I've committed acts of unrighteousness, thus I'm guilty of sin, and I deserve death. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. When he said in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I don't deserve just to die physically, but I deserve to die eternally. To be separated from God. To suffer the vengeance of God. As Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, that Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what I deserve. But is there a way for me to be declared free from my guilt? And for God to judge me, to declare me, to pronounce me as being righteous before him? The question is asked in the book of Job chapter 9 and in verse 2, how should man be just with God? And that's our concern in this study. How is it possible for us to be just with God? Let's explore the teaching of the Scriptures on the subject of justification. As I search the Scriptures, the first thing that I find is the fact that God is the justifier. All sin is against God. You remember back in Genesis chapter 39 when Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not only would that have been sin against his own body, sin against Potiphar's wife, and sin against Potiphar, but he knew that to engage in such would have constituted sin against God. And that's like the prodigal son, when he came to himself and he came to his father, he said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, Luke 15 and verse 21. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 7, Paul said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so any time that I've been carnal in my thinking, that's against God. It's not that God has sinned against me And I need to justify him, or he needs to be justified or accounted right before me. No, I've sinned against him. And I stand in need of being justified by him. He's the justifier, not me. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 26, Paul said of God, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." What's Paul saying? God is the justifier. And again in verse 30, "Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith." That is, there is but one God, one justifier for both the Jew and the Gentile. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, he plainly says, "It is God that justifieth." Since God is the justifier, I can't justify myself. You can't justify me, and I can't justify you. You see, we can't expect to obtain or receive justification from someone else or somewhere else, for God is the justifier. So we must accept justification on his terms, according to his word. But the second thing, as you think about Bible teaching on justification, it needs to be pointed out that justification is not by some things. Sometimes there are those who attribute justification to certain things that really are not involved in our justification. The first of which is, justification is not by the law of Moses. Paul made that clear in his sermon at Antioch in Pisidia. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 39, he said, "By him," that is Christ, "all that believed are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." He said you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. And that thread is woven throughout the book of Romans in chapter 3 and in verse 20. He said, "By the deeds of the law," that is by the deeds of the law of Moses, "there shall no flesh be justified in his sight," listen, "for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And then in verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul in his letter to the Galatians emphasized the same. He said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Chapter 3 and verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." In fact, to try to be justified by the law is to cause one to fall from grace. Galatians 5:4. "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And so the law of Moses is not a system of justification. It's a system of learning, written for our learning, Romans 15 verse 4. And to try to be made just or right with God today by appealing to the Old Testament is to do that which is impossible. But also, justification is not by hearing alone. The scriptures do place a great amount of emphasis upon hearing. I don't know how many times Jesus, through his earthly ministry, said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," just like he did in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. God recognized the value of that when Jesus was transfigured before Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John. God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Matthew 17 and in verse 5. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10 verse 17. And so when we talk about the fact that we're not justified by hearing alone, we're not negating the importance of hearing. But it takes more than just hearing to be justified. For in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 13, Paul said, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." There's some who hear, but that's as far as it goes. They don't act upon it. They don't do anything about it. Jesus taught how profitless that is. It's like building your house upon the sand in Matthew chapter 7. He likened the man who hears and does to the one who builds his house upon the rock. But also, justification is not by faith only. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, James penned, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Much of what has been written on the subject suggests that we're justified by faith only. And yet the Bible says that's not so. Not by faith only. In that context, he teaches the importance of faith and works. And in verse 19, he said, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." And so if a person maintains that we're justified by faith only, will the devil be saved? Is the devil justified? He must be, since he believes. But that shows that justification is not by the law of Moses. It's not by hearing alone, and it's not by faith only. But let me suggest to you now, in the third place, that justification is by several things. First, the Scriptures emphasize that justification is by Christ. There can be no justification apart from Christ. Christ was prophesied to be the one by whom justification would come in Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 11, it is recorded, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Might underscore, my righteous servant justify many. To appreciate this has its fulfillment in Christ, just remind yourself of the fact that in Acts chapter 8, when the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and he said, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this?" Philip said, "Jesus." As he opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. And when you read the use of the word justification in Paul's letter, in chapters 4 and 5, you learn that all that was necessary on God's part for our justification was effected in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." When Peter addressed scattered saints in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, he said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." He's the just, we're the unjust. "That he might bring us to God." That bringing us who are unjust to God is the process of justification. How was that accomplished? Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And thus when Paul in his letter to the Romans in chapter 3 and in verse 24 said, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." When you underscore those words, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," you know that justification is by Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in 7, he said of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And so justification is not by the law of Moses. It's not by hearing alone. It's not by faith only. It's by Christ. But in addition to that, the Scriptures declare that justification is by faith. That's implied when James said, not by faith only. If it's not by faith only, then faith must be involved. He didn't say that we're not justified by faith, but by faith only. In Romans 5 and verse 1, Paul taught, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice he didn't say justified by faith only, or justified by faith solely, or justified by faith only, but that we're justified by faith. In chapter 3 and verse 28, he said, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And then down in verse 30, he said, "It is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through what? Through faith." And so we're justified by faith. That was also included in the reading this afternoon, Galatians, the third chapter. When in verse 24, Paul said, "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith." And so apart from faith, we cannot be right with God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But not only is justification by Christ and by faith, the Scriptures emphasize that justification is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 9 affirms, much more then, being now justified by His blood. His goes back to Christ. Verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's why Paul could write about the forgiveness of sins that's been made available through His blood in Ephesians 1 and in verse 7. Now some will read verse 1 and conclude that we're justified by faith only. We've come too far for that to be true, haven't we? If it's by faith only, then you eliminate God as the justifier. He couldn't have anything to do with it. If it's by faith only, then we excluded Christ from that. If it's by faith only, then we eliminated His blood, because only is to the exclusion of everything else. But the fact that it's by Christ, it is by the blood of Christ, and that God is the justifier is good evidence that it's not by faith only. But also the Scriptures emphasize that we're justified by works. Just read the book of James in the second chapter. Have a short treatise on faith and works, beginning in verse 21. When James, the servant of the Lord, said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also is not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And so he's talking about the fact that these were justified by works. Yet there are those who would try to pit James against Paul when in Ephesians chapter 2, he says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there are those who say this is a contradiction. For Paul says not of works, and James says by works. We must realize that there are different kinds of works mentioned in the Bible. Evil works are spoken of in John 7 and verse 7. Can we be justified through evil works? There are works of the law of Moses, Galatians 2 and verse 16. Works of darkness, Romans 13, 12. Works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19. Wicked works, Colossians 1, 21. Works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3, 5. Dead works, Hebrews 6, 1. And the works of the devil, 1 John 3 and verse 8. There are works that justify, and there are works that do not justify. But to say that no works are involved in justification is to contradict Scripture, which says plainly, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, James 2:24. As well, to deny works of any kind is to nullify faith. For faith itself is a work. Do you believe that we can be justified without faith? That's the consequence if you suggest that no works are involved. For in the book of John, in chapter 6 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. There are good works that we are to walk in, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. You see, justification requires action on our part. We're not passive, but we are active in this process. And yet there are those who would suggest that man is entirely passive in his salvation. Notice the Corinthians were justified, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. As they were at one time unrighteous, guilty of sin, but Paul said that they had been washed, sanctified, and justified. How did that work? What happened? What made the difference? We see how that worked in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. That's how they were washed, sanctified, and justified. God declared them righteous. He cleared them from the guilt of their sin as they hearing believed and were baptized. They weren't justified by the law of Moses. They heard, but it wasn't by hearing alone. It wasn't by faith only they believed. But they acted upon their faith. It was by Christ. It was by their faith through the blood of Jesus, by works, when they hearing believed and were baptized. You see, baptism is an act of obedience that brings us into the death of Christ, into contact with the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul said, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And in verses 17 and 18, he said, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. We would appeal to you this afternoon to be among the just, to dwell in the habitation of the just, to walk the path of the just, to allow the head, the memory, the tongue, and the mouth of the just to be yours, to be like Noah, who was described as a just man, who God, in that world of sinfulness and wickedness and corruption, could say of him, Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And God can say that of each one of us. Though in the past we've committed acts of unrighteousness, if we will come to God the justifier on his terms, hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel, instead of the verdict being guilty, God says innocent. You can't put a price on that. What a blessing to think that I've sinned against God and God offers me justification. He offers me a way that I can be just, I can be right with him. Would you come to Christ this afternoon? Would you believe on him? Would you repent of your sins and confess his name before men and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins so that God could pronounce you as righteous, so that it can be said of you as it was said of the Corinthians, washed, sanctified, justified, because you hearing believed and were baptized. But there's a need after we've obeyed the gospel to live under righteousness. We can't continue in sin. We can't revert to the old path of the wicked. We have to keep our feet walking in the path of the just, because that's the path that leads to heaven. Maybe we've gotten off track. Maybe we've lost our focus. We've lost our way. And we need to get back on the right track through repentance and prayer. And we're happy to pray for you, pray with you, as the effectual, fervent prayer, James said, of a righteous man availeth much. I want righteous people praying for me. How about you? And if we can do that for you, won't you come while we stand and sing the song?